Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, July 6th, wishes and prayers for a smooth recovery pouring for Pope Francis after his surgery on Sunday. Unknown gunmen kidnap a Catholic priest and at least 140 school children in Nigeria, and Belarusian authorities crack down on voices of dissent with the arrest of a prominent opposition figure. In the Vatican, I'm Father Benedict Mayaki. Pope Francis's post-operative recovery is proceeding normally, according to a statement released by the director of the Holy See Press Office. The Pope rested well overnight, had breakfast this morning, and got up to walk. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
Pope Francis is continuing his recovery at Rome's Agostino Gemelli Hospital, now 2 days following his colon operation. Holy See Press Office Director Matteo Bruni said in a statement issued on Tuesday that the post-operative recovery of Pope Francis is proceeding normally, and the results of routine follow-up tests are good. The statement added that His Holiness Pope Francis rested well overnight. He had breakfast this morning, read a few newspapers, and got up to walk. On Sunday, the Pope went to the hospital in the afternoon for a planned operation that lasted around 3 hours to deal with a symptomatic diverticular stenosis of the colon. In the meantime, get well wishes are coming in from around the world. Religious leaders, civil authorities, and faithful across the world are praying for Pope Francis and wishing for his speedy recovery. The Pope Emeritus and church authorities and world leaders across the globe have sent their assurances of these prayers and good wishes to Pope Francis. The director of the Holy See Press Office, once again on Tuesday, said Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI is praying for the Pope's speedy recovery. Indeed, the Pope Emeritus's personal secretary, Archbishop George Gansfrein, said Pope Benedict is thinking of the Pope with affection and is praying for him. Meanwhile, a chorus of voices of closeness and support is reaching the Pope in the hospital. Amongst them, the president of the Italian Episcopal Conference, Cardinal Gualtiero Bassetti, who said the faithful are hoping and praying that they will see him again soon at the window of the Apostolic Palace. The Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople, Bartholomew I, immediately sent a message of fraternal wishes for a speedy convalescence, adding that he trusts in the success of the operation so that they may meet again soon in order to carry out together the indispensable mission of unity to which Christ calls us. A message of good wishes also came from the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, Ahmad el-Tayeb, addressed to My Dear Brother, where he confirms the fraternal friendship that binds them and wishes him a quick recovery that will return him to his mission for humanity. And may the Lord sustain him with the tenderness of his love, was the prayer from the Anglican Center of Rome, while the chief rabbi of Rome, Riccardo Segni, tweeted, My best wishes for a speedy recovery to the Pope who is facing a difficult surgery. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
A former challenger of the Belarusian president has been sentenced to 14 years imprisonment. Viktor Babariko received the sentence for alleged financial wrongdoing, charges he says are political motivated. As regional correspondent Stefan Bosch reports, the jail term is another setback for thousands of people demanding change in the former Soviet nation.
The Belarus Supreme Court convicted Viktor Babariko, a former banker, of taking bribes and money laundering. The court handed him a sentence of 14 years imprisonment and a fine of about $57,000. But Babariko says the charges were trumped up to prevent him from challenging President Alexander Lukashenko in last year's vote. Raids on the bank Babariko had formerly led, Belgazprom Bank, resulted in the criminal investigation. He is among the top opponents of Lukashenko, who have been either jailed or forced into exile. His sentence came as a significant disappointment to dissidents. Thousands of people were already demanding the release of Babariko and other opponents of the Belarusian president. They and Western governments view President Lukashenko as Europe's last dictator. Lukashenko, in power since 1994, has cracked down massively on his opponents. Huge street protests continued for weeks after the disputed August 9 vote. The protests were often broken up brutally by police and thousands were detained. Many participating in the demonstrations claim Lukashenko won a sixth term in office after rigging last year's vote, charges he denies. After Lukashenko's primary opponent was barred from running in the election and detained last June, a trio of women joined forces to oppose President Lukashenko. They included Maria Kalashnikova, an ally of Babariko, who is also now in jail. Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, whose opposition politician husband Sergei Tikhanovsky was detained in March 2020, claimed victory in the August election after standing in his place. But the next day, she was forced into exile with her children. And Roman Protasevich, a prominent anti-Lukashenko journalist, was moved to house arrest by the Belarusian authorities last month. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bus, reporting.
A Nigerian priest and scores of school children have been abducted by unknown gunmen suspected to have ties with the Boko Haram militant sect. Linda Bordoni reports.
Father Elijah Juma Wada of the Catholic Diocese of Maiduguri was reportedly kidnapped by armed men last Wednesday as he travelled between Borno State and Yobe State in Nigeria's northeast. The abductors are thought to be Boko Haram militants. Separately, in another instance of a recent spate of abductions from schools and universities in the nation, a group of gunmen kidnapped dozens of children from Bethel Baptist High School in Kaduna State in the early hours of Monday. At least 140 students were taken. Police say security forces succeeded in rescuing 26 students and a teacher while in pursuit of the attackers. A spokesman added that the rescue operation is still ongoing to ensure that all the victims are safely returned. Monday's attack on Bethel Baptist High School was at least the fourth mass school kidnapping in Kaduna State since December. The kidnapping of Nigerian schoolchildren first drew international attention in 2014, when the Boko Haram extremist group snatched nearly 270 schoolgirls from a school in Chibok in Borno State. Armed bandits in Nigeria are making kidnapping for ransom a fast-growing industry, with kidnappers targeting schools and universities, roads, private residents, and more recently, even hospitals, like the one in northern Kaduna State, where six people were abducted on Sunday. Nigeria's security forces have been battling an Islamist insurgency in the northeast of the country since 2009, in a conflict that has killed tens of thousands and has displaced over 2 million people. I'm Linda Bordoni.
A charity group is asking the European Union to find a safe port where it can dock to disembark hundreds of migrants it has rescued in the central Mediterranean over recent days. Francesca Merlo reports.
Another migrant ship is looking for a safe port in which to disembark hundreds of people rescued in the central Mediterranean over recent days. The charity group SOS Mediterranee is not having any luck with the EU countries it has been contacting, and the 572 migrants on board the Ocean Viking vessel are stuck at sea. Of these, 183 are minors. They were picked up during six operations in Maltese and Libyan search and rescue areas. The charity group SOS Mediterranee said maritime authorities had not helped in the operations and urged the European Union to intervene. We are calling upon the EU to at least coordinate the disembarkation of the 572 survivors currently aboard our ship, it said in a statement. The statement did not give details of where the vessel was, but marinetraffic.com website gave its position as between Malta and Sicily. Migrant boat departures from northern Africa towards Europe have picked up in 2021 after a decline in the previous few years. Scores of migrants have died in recent days following shipwrecks as they tried to cross the Mediterranean to reach Italy, one of the main routes into Europe. In 2 days, on the 6th of July, the Catholic Church and the whole world will be remembering Pope Francis's visit to Lampedusa in 2013. During his visit to the island, the Pope celebrated Mass in which he slammed what he described as the globalization of indifference and the culture of waste that causes people to become insensitive to the plights of others. We pray for a heart which will embrace immigrants, he said, adding God will judge us upon how we have treated the most needy. Throughout his pontificate, Pope Francis has fought for the rights of migrants and refugees, fighting, as he puts it, for an even more inclusive use of the word us. I'm Francesca Merlo.
UN High Commissioner for Human Rights Michelle Bachelet said on Monday that restrictions on civic space in Venezuela remain a cause for concern. Bachelet's office said it documented 97 incidents of stigmatization, criminalization and threats against dissenting voices, particularly towards civil society, media and members of the opposition from June 2020 to May 2021. The vast majority of these incidents involved individuals criminally charged for legitimate forms of civic engagement, Bachelet said. The report also raised concerns about conditions in detention, due process and access to basic services, and called for vaccines to be available to all. The High Commissioner, however, welcomed some actions she saw as progress, including police and justice reforms, a downward trend in alleged deaths in protest and security operation, and some improvement in impunity. She also noted that Venezuela's top prosecutor had agreed to give her office access to case files of human rights violations. And finally, we remember Indian Jesuit Father Stan Swami, who died yesterday in a hospital in Mumbai. His funeral was celebrated today. The 84-year-old rights activist who suffered from Parkinson's disease championed the rights of indigenous and marginalized people in India's Jharkhand state. He died while spending 9 months in prison. Jesuit Father Cedric Prakash remembers Father Swami and pays him tribute in this report.
It's been a long time of suffering from the day he was arrested, October 8th, till today. Father Stan has been in jail, incarcerated under the dreaded Unlawful Activities Prevention Act for a crime we know that he did not commit. He loved the poor, the downtrodden, the marginalized, the excluded of our society, and very specially the tribals, whom we call here in India, the Adivasis. He lived his life for them. He accompanied them on this journey for a more humane, just, equitable, and dignified life. He walked the road with them, just as Jesus would have done if he were living physically in our world today. Father Stan is a beacon of hope. Father Stan has been a great mentor and motivator to hundreds and thousands of the people, both the poor and the marginalized, to human rights defenders, and many, many people across the board. Today, he has left his pilgrimage on earth and gone to his eternal reward. We are convinced Father Stan will never die. He will continue to live in the hearts and the lives of hundreds and thousands of people everywhere from all walks of life. When Mahatma Gandhi died, Nehru, our Prime Minister, said, "The light has gone out of our lives and there is darkness everywhere." There is darkness today with the death of Father Stan, but he is truly a light for thousands of people in India and elsewhere.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. And you can also follow us on Vatican News English section Facebook page and Twitter account. My thanks go to the sound engineers and technicians in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.